SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell. Coast to coast.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast for hour two. We bring in Mafia, Brian Ciano to talk about the UFC fight night. They're actually in Sin City, the Mecca, the hub, beautiful Las Vegas, baby. They're back in Sin City, Mafia. I thought they were still on Fight Island in Pharrell Adabi, but I guess they're done with the UAE, and it's back to LV, to Las Vegas for Fight Night and Spida Silva. Let's break it all down. Take it away.
Yeah, I thought they were in Fight Island too, Scott, but they must have heard about the big party downtown and want to get back in town and mix things up here on Halloween weekend. So they are at the Apex here, Fight Island, 7 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. So again, it's a little earlier than the usual card, so make sure you got your stuff set for that. I guess they didn't want to really compete with the boxing there. I want to make sure they're clear of the pay-per-view because they knew how big that is. So everyone's going to be watching that fight. We'll talk about that later. But, of course, Uriah Primetime Hall versus Anderson Spida Silva is the main event. The middleweights, of course, Spider's one of the greatest ever. You know, or at least he was. 7 years. You know, I've really done a number on him. This fight was supposed to actually happen in 2016, but he had an issue with his gallbladder. I had to have it removed. Spidey did, so they have it, you know, pushed back here. They finally meet now. Since he's, you know, been the GOAT and had a successful run of 10 defenses of the belt, he's now gone 1-6-1 in the last 7 years since 2013. He's lost three times by TKO, three by decision. Silva, now 45 years old. This is his last fight, probably. So his swan song here on this fight card. Hall hasn't been great in his UFC career, but he started to rebound the last couple fights. He's had two of his last 3 wins. He's found a new camp there. Instead of being kind of the nomad that he was, he's found a home. He's locked it in. He's starting to learn himself and get better. He has a 2.5-inch reach advantage, so I'm going to roll with Hall in this one. Spider just doesn't have it anymore. They think it's not going to go the distance. So the 5-round fight, they think it's going to end before that. No minus 142 for will it go the distance. KOTKO is minus 110 for Outland. Points is plus 100. So they're not totally committed to it not going the distance, but they think it will. So I'm going to roll with Hall. I'm going to go with TKO or points, a double chance bet here, because 11 of his 15 wins and 6 of his 8 in the UFC have been by KOTKO. So I'm going to roll that way with that one. In the second fight, you got Bryce Thug Nasty Mitchell versus Andre Touchy Feely. Greatest nicknames on the fight card right now with those two. It's a featherweight bout. Bryce Mitchell's minus 136. I'm going to roll with him winning this fight. I think it's going to end by points. Feely's only 30. He's been in the UFC for 7 years now, though, 9-6 in his time in the UFC, so hasn't been completely great. Split decision win in his last fight, won 3 of his last 4 and 5 of his last 7, but he struggles against the top guys in that division. He's lost to Michael Johnson, Calvin Kattar, Yael Rodriguez. Mitchell is 4-0 since he joined the UFC. He's a BJJ black belt. He kind of wants it more to go to the ground if he can, of course. Feely's going to try to keep it on the feet more, but Mitchell's capable on there too. You know, he's not named Thug Nasty because a guy can't hold his own with his fist. So they think it's going to go the distance, minus 120 at FanDuel for yes. They think it's going to buy points at minus 135. So I think it's going to end by points as well. I'm going to roll Bryce Mitchell there at minus 136. Both guys to win by points, if you want to go just straight up method of victory, are plus 230 and plus 250. So if you want to take a chance either way on one of those guys, just them winning by points, you can do that as well for a little more plus money. Then after that, you have Greg Prince of War Hardy versus Maurice the Crochet Boss Green. That's right, the Crochet Boss. He's nicknamed himself that because he loves to crochet in his off time, and he sells it online, apparently. But both these guys are heavyweights. I'm going Maurice Green with the big upset here, plus 265. Hardy's minus 330. I don't know why. Both guys have looked mediocre in their time in the UFC. Green's 4-2. Lost 2 in a row before his submission win over Jan Vallant last one. Hardy's 3-2-1. The UFC is a loss by DQ for knees. A no contest because he took an inhaler in the middle of a fight. Like, both these guys aren't the greatest fighters in this division. And it's going to be pretty ugly. It's going to be a sloppy, heavyweight, you know, slobber knocker type fight. But I think that Green's the bigger guy. He's a little bigger, a little longer. And I think Hardy, in his wins, has used that jab. He's not going to be able to do that against Green. And Green also has a chance of submission here. So I think they said, no, it's not going to go the distance. I think it could, or you know, maybe Green by submission TKO is how I'm going to roll too.
All right. We welcome in our radio affiliates, Sports Grid Radio Overnights, Pharrell on the Bench, Sports Rage, Bagels and Bad Beats. Get the app. Go to sportsgridradio.com. Get on our YouTube page. Search Sports Grid Radio. You can watch us do the shows. I'll see you tonight on the bench at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. We're also on Mightier 1090 live in San Diego and all of Southern California. So was there one other fight that you wanted to show me on there, or did you get them all
in? There's one more.
Go ahead.
You got Bobby Green. You know, he's a heavy favorite. Bobby Green minus 320 over Thiago Moises. We'll go that way. We'll go Green by points. If you want to get a little extra, shoot us on there. It's minus 135 instead of the minus 320. And if you want to parlay all those guys in there and throw them all together, you get some good odds there. Throwing in the underdog of Green and takes it from a plus 330 of FanDuel if you had Hardy in there to plus 1,100. So we can make some extra cash if all those fights line up for us.
I think that every single UFC fighter should be mandatory, required to have a nickname. There should be no fighters at all without a nickname. Like the Thug Nasty and the Touchy Feely.
Touchy Feely or the Crochet Boss.
That is an awesome one. All right, so Dana White thinks that Habib will stay, will not stay retired, and he'll come back. Oh, that didn't last long.
I mean, he's always talked about 30. No, that's what Dana's saying. Maybe he comes back for that because dad brought it up, but that'd be pretty silly to come out for one fight.
What did you think of Musasi last night? I actually watched the fight. I couldn't have been more bored.
Yeah, it wasn't a great fight. Neither guy was throwing combinations. They're all kind of doing one shot here, one shot there, back and forth, but Musasi definitely controlled more of the fight, and he gets the belt again.
Who are you taking, Davis or Santa Cruz?
I'm going Leo. I'm going with the upset there, plus 380. I mean, he's got a lot more experience. He's beaten guys like Maris, Frampton. Davis, you know, his only good fight against Gamboa took him all the way to the end. I'm taking your boy Leo Santa Cruz, and I think it's going to go distance by points.
By the way, our buddy Mick Conlon was supposed to fight on the Fury card in London on December 5th, but he, like, rolled his foot and, like, busted his foot, and he's out. He's not fighting that night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, we bring in Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider. You can follow him at Kaplan NFL on Twitter. All right, Adam, let's start with the Falcons win. You called it. And you also said in the break how ugly it was, because it was ugly and it was boring on top of everything else. What did you think of the game last night in Carolina?
Yeah, one of the reasons why, Pharrell, I picked the Falcons to win is because with Julio Jones playing, we talked about it before the game, he would play, though he was on the injury report with a hip injury. Remember, Rasul Douglas, I talked about him. He's a starting corner, a tall starting corner. Was claimed off waivers. He's actually one of their best corners. It's been a pretty good story of development for the former Eagle, but not having him as a tall physical corner, that's going to be a problem going against Julio Jones, and he destroyed the Panthers secondary. That was a problem. Matt Ryan made some plays. They did just enough to win, though they almost gave it away. Did you notice Todd Gurley ran out of bounds to stop the clock? He shouldn't have done that, but anyway, they held on to win, and what they did was this. Defensively, they blitzed the heck out of Teddy Bridgewater, who got knocked out, if you remember, with a neck injury, then he came back to finish the game. I think weather had something to do with just the way that the game went, the game tempo, so to speak. The rain, it stopped, it started, and it went the whole second half. It was sloppy. But I do give the Falcons credit. It's one of those times when a coaching change happens and the players get re-energized. There's no question they've been much better since Dan Quinn has left. I don't have an answer for you why, but we know what the results have been, and they've been re-energized under Raheem Morris.
So what's the deal with Calvin Ridley's ankle?
Yeah, he turned it early in the first quarter, didn't return. The initial testing was okay. They're going to continue to reevaluate it. That is a concern, though, because they need him. He's had a terrific season. He's really, really good. They're not super deep at that wide receiver position. Russell Gage filled in for him. I do think, though, that they would have a better offensive output had the weather not been such a factor last night. There's no question it was. It didn't make it harder to throw as the game went along, but good for the Falcons to find a way. You know, the Panthers now, they're really fading. I know that they've been competitive, but they are now 3-5, and they're not getting in the playoffs. They're just simply not good enough, but they might finish around 8-8 or 7-9.
Yeah, not the way I saw them play the last 2 weeks, to be honest with you. I think they're, you said they're fading because they are. I think it's going to get worse. I don't see them rebounding and going 500. Do you have any updates on the Texans and Patriots in terms of player movement and availability and where those franchises are in regards to taking calls on some of their talent?
All right, let's start, Pharrell, with the Texans. So the word I've gotten from multiple teams is this. They don't seem to be super motivated to move players. They've made it clear to teams they're not taking on big salaries. The thing is that it's similar to a couple other teams, like the Falcons in particular. They don't want to gut the team because if you're a new GM and a new head coach, remember Bill O'Brien had the dual role, why would you gut the team and then look at it and if you're a GM candidate and say, do I really want this team if you've gutted it? So I'm not saying they won't move players. They have some players that are on the final year of their deals. Will Fuller, by the way, is a player that a lot of teams like, but he also has an injury history. He's very gifted, one of the most explosive players of the National Football League. He's having a great season. Despite all the issues that the Texans have had on offense, he's actually done very, very well. If the Texans are willing to move him, I believe he'll get moved by Tuesday's deadline, which, by the way, is at 4 p.m. Eastern. The Patriots, the belief around the league is, for the first time, and I don't know, I mean, we'd have to go back to the early 2000s. Typically, what happens is they're willing to get players at a deadline or in March. They're pretty aggressive at free agency when they want players. But this is the first time that I could remember they're actually wanting to move players. Now, we could talk about how they're not playing better lately, and that's probably part of it, because teams always have to be realistic at a trade deadline. GMs will tell me, they look at their roster, they talk to their coaches, and they figure out where they're at. This team is on a downward spiral here. I mean, they're starting a bunch of receivers or playing a bunch of receivers this week that are either undrafted or guys who have barely played in the National Football League or not a lot of snaps. So this is going to be hard for the Patriots going forward. The Bills are clearly, Carver High's team, the Bills, they're clearly the favorite. It's the first time I've talked about Bill Belichick in 20 years and say, you know what? They're not going to win this division. I don't think they'll turn. In fact, not think. I know they're not turning it around to win the division. Cam Newton has shown no way to get out of this funk. He just has not been able to do it. After, by the way, he got off to a great start. So I do expect the Patriots to be sellers, the Texans to be judicious on depending on what kind of compensation they can get. One other thing before we move on here. Remember, Bill O'Brien traded a lot of future draft compensation. So if you're the remaining personnel staff, you probably want to trade a couple players to get some of those picks back because that'll make it more attractive to the next general manager.
Do you think the Packers, is there any truth to their interest in Fuller?
Yeah, we talked about this before with Will Fuller and the Packers. They're looking for speed opposite Devontae Adams there. Why do they need that? Adams is a possession receiver who's great at running after catch. He's not a speed guy. They need speed, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, we've talked about him before. It's been a while, but we've talked about him. He's a big, tall receiver who runs well after the catch, but he's not fast. He has not had the season that they were hoping for. EQ St. Brown is coming off yet another injury. He's not played very much football for the Packers. They need somebody who can run. It would not surprise me if Brian Gutekunst, their GM, wound up making a play for him because they need to get somebody who's got speed on the outside. Can you imagine a big-time speed guy like Will Fuller opposite Devontae Adams? How are you going to stop that pass game?
Look, I like his game when he's playing and when he's in the lineup. He's had his fair share of injuries. I don't deny that the guy has skills. What's the deal with the Bears and Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack?
Yeah, Allen Robinson, I'm told, as of Friday, has not been cleared medically. He has not been able to practice. He's doubtful for the game. He's not expected to play. He hasn't done anything since he got hurt in Monday night's game, unfortunately. Look for Javon Wims and Calvin Ridley's younger brother, Riley Ridley, to fill in here on Sunday against the Saints and also for the Bears. The Bears do believe that they're going to have Khalil Mack with his ankle injury. He just did light work on Friday, and then they limited his work this week in general because they did play on Monday night. And also for the Saints, we should mention Michael Thomas out once again. And Marquez Callaway, their rookie receiver they love out of University of Tennessee, who they gave a pretty good guarantee for being an undrafted free agent. He also is out. He had been filling in for Emmanuel Sanders. So the Saints are now down, very down at the wide receiver position. They don't have a lot of guys left.
I cannot believe that Michael Thomas is basically missing the first half of the season.
he's remember now, the high ankle sprain is a lot better, but now he has this new injury, unfortunately, and he heard it last week, and he has not had a full practice. Actually, since he had his high ankle sprain, he hasn't practiced fully yet, so he's still not there yet. And that to me, makes this a very tight game. If Thomas is playing, they're winning this game because the Bears, Pharrell, this is what I learned from that last game, they just can't score. Their line is not playing well. They're without one start on their offensive line at guard, and this is a problem. Their defense is playing very well, but they just can't score. If you can't score and pass the football and protect your quarterback, you can't win.
I won't be surprised if they beat the Saints in Chicago and that they find the end zone in this game. I think the Saints are overrated. What is the deal with Jalen Reagor and Dallas Goedert?
All right, so the Eagles are going to get some good news. We've been talking about their injury situation seems like every other week here. Jalen Reagor will play. The Eagles they're going to activate him off the injured reserve list on Saturday, and he will play and probably play quite a bit. Versus the dreaded Cowboys as they come into Philly. Dallas Goedert has a broken ankle, and as he confirmed this week with the local media, he also had a high ankle sprain on the same play. But I'm told he actually has a chance to play. It'll be 5 weeks on Sunday. The Eagles have until Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern to activate him. If they don't, it's Richard Rodgers, who's filled in, who did a great job last week. So this is good news here, though. Goddard's close here. If he doesn't play this week, it'll be against the Giants, but the Eagles are in much better injury shape as it stands right now versus the Cowboys than they have been in recent weeks.
They have to beat them. Respectfully, I got about 40 seconds. They've got to finish off the Cowboys.
And by the way, it's going to be Ben DiNucci at quarterback for the Cowboys on Sunday. The seventh-round pick out of JMU, James Madison, will be behind center. Yeah, and I agree. The Eagles should blow them out, but that's why they play the games.
I think my wife's having an affair with DiNucci, but we don't really have time to talk about it. We'll get into it at another time. When we come back, we got a lot to talk about with Adam, the Bengals. We're going to talk about the Titans playing them in the Queen City. We'll look at all the other games around the NFL. Dalvin Cook's going to be playing for the Vikings against the Packers. We'll get you caught up on everything you need to know for the big games on Sunday. It's Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, killer job. Cam Stewart, everybody, check out Game Time Decisions, top of the hour. And we go back to Adam Kaplan now to talk about NFL a little bit more in depth. Let's talk about the Bengals for a second and this story about John Ross. And I have to ask you, what is the deal with Mike Brown and the way he is like forcing coaches and players to honor their contracts almost, won't let, is there truth to that, that he won't let guys get jobs elsewhere for more money or a better opportunity? What's that all about?
Yes. Yeah, so what happened, Pharrell, is this. Let's start with John Ross. John Ross wants out. He's made it very clear. His agents asked him to be traded. They've said no. He went on social media on Friday. He put a play out to be moved because the Bengals simply won't play him. There's nothing wrong with him physically. We know he's had an injury history, but he's fine physically. There's no issue there. The issue is that they typically let players play out their contract, and they make a decision whether, A, they won't sign him to get a compensatory pick, or in this case, they just let him walk. They decline his fifth-year option, but they won't play him. They could easily trade him now if they want to. Teams have talked to them. There are a couple teams I know that are interested. There are teams that need help at wide receiver, but they have not been willing to do it yet. Now, they have till Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. They may change their mind. I know they've talked to teams. Maybe they're holding out for a certain price. I do believe a conditional fifth or conditional sixth-round pick will do it. But what Mike Brown has done is this over the years. I've talked to countless assistant coaches who have told me they've been offered or had the chance to leave and go to another team where they could get more money or a better opportunity. But Mike Brown believes you honor your contract, which is fine. If you're on a contract, they can block you from leaving. So he's done this over the years. This is nothing new for Mike Brown and the Bengals. But the problem is here with John Ross, let's get back to him. They have an opportunity to move this player because they've made it clear he's not coming back. They won't even play the guy. So what's the point when you're a very bad football team who can't protect your quarterback. By the way, three of their starting offensive linemen are out Sunday at home versus the Titans. They should get blown out. Here's a chance. Go get a draft pick and move on from this player who didn't get the job done for you, but he could help another team. That's the way it works. But again, to this point, despite teams talking to them, they've not been willing to move him yet. But again, that deadline is 4 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday.
That's crazy. So their line, they have left tackle Jonah Williams out, a stinger, Hopkins, Trey Hopkins, the center, a concussion, right tackle Bobby Hart, a knee, and then Joe Mixon also still has a foot problem. So they are massively banged up going into this game. And
they should get
you know as well as I do, absolutely, the Titans are just better than them.
Now, I know it's going to be windy in Cincy. In fact, both Ohio games have a high degree of wind. But if it's not too bad, not that the Titans need to throw the ball against Cincinnati, but the Titans can win any way they want. They should bounce back big after last week's loss to your Steelers. They should blow out an awful Bengals team. Really, look, they made the trade. I'll say this, though. Why did they trade Carlos Dunlop? Dunlop made an unattainable situation. The Bengals had enough. The Seahawks, I'm told, talked to them for about a week, and they finally found some compensation to get the deal done. But that one was because the head coach and the player could not get along or not agree on anything. And the head coach wanted him out of the building, Carlos Dunlop, and now he's going to help a team that might even make the Super Bowl in the Seahawks.
So the Browns, Olivier Vernon, is he possibly going to get moved? And what do you think of that game with the Raiders? You talk about the wind and everything. Baker Mayfield was incredible last week in Cincinnati with that late-game heroic toss to Peoples-Jones for the winner. What do you think of this team going into their matchup with Vegas and the situation with Olivier Vernon?
Yeah, Olivier Vernon Farrell took a pay cut earlier this year. He's a decent DN. He's one of their four DNs that they use in the rotation. But when you look at what the Browns need, they need help at receiver. I know for a fact they're checking into available receivers around the National Football League after the OBJ injury. Of course, we know he's lost for the season. So Donovan Peoples-Jones will do a decent job with Rashard Higgins of filling in. But they need a veteran, and they also could use somebody who can run. They need some explosiveness downfield. So that's something that they're going to be looking for. And again, they are talking to teams, I'm told, see what's out there at the receiver position. But this Raider team's interesting. Right when you don't think they can win, they go into Kansas City and they win a really exciting game. They're a little bit banged up at the wide receiver position, but Nelson Agholor, the former Eagles receiver, has done a great job. This, to me, is a pretty tight game, but I give Baker Mayfield credit for finding a way to win. Last week, and there's 21 straight completions. That was big time. That was good to see because, remember, he's dealing with a rib injury as he plays. So by the way, this is a tight game. I think this is a three-point game on Sunday. And the conditions, though, you got to check that wind. Wind does impact throwing the football.
So the Vikings will get Dalvin Cook back this week, and boy, do they need him. I think they look terrible, and I don't like their chances here against Green Bay.
Yeah, they ought to get absolutely smoked. This game is in Green Bay, and they're without three of their top four corners. I don't think they have a prayer. There's no reason to think it. And by the way, Dalvin Cook took his first team reps on Friday, so yeah, he's expected to play. That'll help them getting him back, but the problem is their secondary. I've never seen a Mike Zimmer defense play this poorly. It's surprising, but I think most of it's due to injury, and this should not even be close. There's no question about it. And by the way, Everson Griffin will not be able to play with the Lions this week. They acquired him, as you know, who was released by the Cowboys. But Griffin will be eligible to play next week against those Vikings in his first game for the Lions.
So let's go back. I know we talked about moving players with the Patriots and that they're open for business. But what's the latest on Stephon Gilmore's injury problems? And, the Bills go into this game at home licking their chops at the opportunity to, I guess, prove to the world that they're the new beasts of the AFC East.
Yeah, let's start with the Bills. And the Bills are fairly healthy. They're going to get John Brown back this week, and that's big. He's one of the two receivers who can run. You know, they've been having a problem getting the ball downfield. What's happening here when you play the Bills is you take away the back end of the field. You play cover two defense. They're keeping everything in front of them. And that's why Cole Beasley, their slot receiver, is doing really well. So you got to give the defense who are playing the Bills credit, but they're still finding a way to win. They found a way to win when they didn't play well last week against the Jets. They're the clear favorite. They should not have a problem against the Patriots, who have trouble scoring. Look what the Niners did, embarrass them in Foxborough last week. And look, Stephon Gilmore, I'll say this about Stephon Gilmore. Best man cover corner in the National Football League. He's terrific. You're going to have to give up a pretty good price to go get him. But the thing about him is, not every team plays man. A lot of teams play zone these days. More teams are playing man maybe than last year, but still majority of the teams play zone. So if you're going to trade for him, it's going to be costly. You got to pay him a lot of money, and also you got to play man-to-man defense, which not everybody plays these days.
Let's talk about the Ravens, the money they gave Ronnie Staley first, and then what's the status of Jimmy Smith, the corner?
Yeah, Jimmy Smith has had this lingering Achilles injury. He's actually now playing a little bit of safety in some corner. He generally is able to get through each week, but you get concerned with older players in their 30s with Achilles injuries, and he's, again, had this for most of the season, but they're pretty healthy otherwise. Ronnie Staley is a tremendous left tackle not a lot of people know about. Baltimore, they're a great football team, but they're not a big media capital of the world, obviously in the National Football League. Terrific football player, been a terrific first-round pick for them, and it makes him, depending on how you look at the money, one of the top two highest-paid left tackles in the National Football League, and great football player. And yet another reason why the Ravens are great, they stick to their draft board, Pharrell. Terrific football player. They go, who was ever on the board? They take that guy and they don't stray. And that's why they got Ronnie Staley right.
So the Steelers go into Charm City. It's the game of the week. They already went into Smashville and beat the Titans, had a huge lead. It dissipated, but they still got it done after Gostkowski missed a kick. Now they go take on their nemesis, their rival, the Ravens. It's the first time I think Lamar's taken on Big Ben. So what do you think of this matchup and the Steelers' chances to play two huge games in a row on the road?
It's hard to get up emotionally, but you don't when it's this rival, your division rival. I'll say this about the Steelers, and this is why I liked them last week against the Titans. They play the same way on the road, whether it's at home. They'll spread the field. You're going to have to match your corners against their receivers. And by the way, the Baltimore Ravens can do that because they're very deep at corner. This is going to be a tight ball game. I don't think it's going to be high scoring. I'm a little bit worried about the Raven offense. The Raven offense, for all, has not looked as good as it did last year. And that is a problem for me. I think, again, this is a tight ball game. The Steelers can hang with them, and also they could run the football. It's hard again. In fact, both teams are great against the run. I give your Steelers the slight edge. And by the way, Mike Hilton, he needs to get cleared. He's their slot corner who we talked about last week. He is their slot corner. He's also one of their best blitzers from their back end. They need him. He needs to get cleared medically with that shoulder injury. If he does, he'll play, and they need him back. He's very key to this matchup because the Ravens are very good at slot receiver.
How do you think Tua is going to do against Donald and the Rams?
Those Rams, Pharrell, playing really good football. That's why they are, 5-2 right now. They're playing really well. Aaron Donald comes into town. The Dolphins have an improved offensive line. It's not great. The key to watching Tua is he's a left-handed passer, Ryan Fitzpatrick right. Watch the spin and the way the ball goes out. It's going to be a little bit different for these receivers because they didn't have a lot of work with him in training camp, only about 2.5 weeks. I think it might be a little bit slow going for the Dolphins. I do expect the Rams to travel in time zones and be able to win. They went into Philly and traveled in a different time zone to win. I expect the Rams to go in and win, but I do look forward to seeing Tua play on Sunday. That's going to be fun to start that Tua era in Miami.
20 seconds, respectfully. How do you like the Giants' chances Monday night against Tom Brady?
None. It should be 24-6 or 24-3. They ought to get blown out. The Giants just have trouble scoring. They should have won that game in Philly. Evan Ingram should have caught that ball, and they would have beaten Philly. But they are playing competitive football. They're simply not good enough, and they will not win in Tampa.
5 seconds. Do the Chiefs blow out the Jets?
30-3, yes.
All right, Adam, enjoy the Cowboy-Eagle game. I'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, buddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For all back on Coast to Coast, you know, tomorrow night's going to be absolutely phenomenal in San Antonio off the Riverwalk at the Ferrellimo Dome on Ferrelloween because you got fans, actual boxing fans, being able to go to the fight to see an incredible championship fight with Tank Davis and Leo Santa Cruz. It doesn't get any better than that. They're fighting for two belts, the WBA super featherweight belt, the WBA lightweight belt. You got Davis, 135, going down to 130 to fight Leo Santa Cruz, 37-1-1. Santa Cruz means business. And, of course, Davis, the knockout artist, specialist, and he throws down like Mike Tyson. He comes in to knock your head off. And meanwhile, Santa Cruz throws hands for 12 rounds and absolutely is electrifying. I can't wait to see it. And then you got a WBA super lightweight title fight, Mario Barrios of San Antonio taking on Ryan Cowboy Carl from Houston. That should be a good fight. Prograis and Geraldes, Cruz, Magdaleno, the other fights. Four fights, Showtime pay-per-view, 9 p.m. Eastern. Go to Showtime.com, the Showtime app to order the fight. Call your cable operator, satellite provider. You can do it on your smart TVs. You're going to like it, 9 Eastern. It's Davis and Santa Cruz from San Antonio tomorrow night. And I'm telling you, that fight is going to kick the UFC's ass because it's better, flat out. So I can't wait for the fight. That's what I'm doing Saturday night. I know that's what Dr. Chow is doing Saturday night after operating on people all week long. Very busy, very focused, very driven. But he loves watching Pain Day football to see if anybody gets injured. We bring him in from ProFootballDoc.com right now. You can follow him at ProFootballDoc on Twitter. Hope you're doing well, Doc. Good to see you. Let's start off with Calvin Ridley and that ankle, that foot last night, and Teddy Bridgewater. He took a shot. It was a neck, they were saying. It looked like a head shot. I thought he was going to be concussed. They took him under the blue tent, but he eventually came back in the game. What do you know about those guys' injuries coming off that game?
Well, you're right about Calvin Ridley. It is determined to be a foot. In-game, they said ankle. And I posted last night and talked about at halftime on the Periscope through the website that it's a foot injury, and it seemed to be a midfoot injury. And I think he escapes serious injury because of the weather. He gets his foot out in time from a serious Lisfranc injury. But I think he's still going to miss some time, but I don't know that he's going to go on injured reserve. Certainly no surgery. And Teddy Bridgewater, his neck is certainly going to be sore. He did not have a concussion, at least not that day of the game. But his neck's going to be pretty sore. You saw the hit that he took. My guess is he's probably having someone drive him around today because he probably can't really turn his head or neck the way that is, that the muscle spasms that he might have today.
When you saw Andy Dalton take that shot from Bostic last week, he looked like he was, he got that paralysis stiff thing going. He was so out of it that his whole body was almost in a seizure. I'd be very surprised to see him anywhere near the field on Sunday. They're going to go with the other kid, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know, look, I hate to prejudge concussions, but as it is, it's difficult at best 50-50 to return the next week. And with the type that he took and the way that he was, what you're describing is something called posturing, that he was not going to play this week, and he's not going to play this week. But, you know, there's been a few people that we said from Sunday last week that wouldn't play this week, and they're mostly coming true, including Emmanuel Sanders isn't going to play because of his COVID status, and probably not Michael Thomas either.
So what do you know about McCaffrey? He's not able to go last night. Is he going to be able to go next week? Will he be finally cleared to go?
I believe next week he finally will. When there was excitement earlier this week that he was coming back, I was saying, don't take the cheese. If you like the Falcons, the line went up to +3, and I said, take it, because the line's coming back down when McCaffrey is announced not playing, and he did not play.
So what's the status with our COVID updates? Giants, Chargers, are those teams good to go for Sunday and Monday night?
So far, they're good to go. There was a scare when there was a few positive tests, one on each team, and they quarantined a number of people as close contacts. But close contacts are not high risk. If they were determined to be high risk, they would be out a mandatory 5 days. And that wasn't the case for the Giants' offensive line. Therefore, the game will go as scheduled on Monday, and they'll have their players back.
So when Trevor Lawrence of Clemson gets it and they date it to Wednesday, and then the 6th of November would be Friday, do you think 10 days is enough for an athlete and a kid of his age and athletic ability and his stamina and everything else, you think he'll be able to go by the Notre Dame game, if you were to guess?
Well, there's two ways to answer that question. Good to go from a health perspective, good to go from a policy perspective. From a health perspective, it depends on his symptoms and how severe, and if he's unfortunate enough to get myocarditis, and most people don't, that's a different story. And from a policy perspective, you know, it's kind of the Wild West. The NFL has its rules. The SEC has its rules. Clemson will have its rules. And 10 days, I think he likely is to miss the next game, the Notre Dame game, as well as the BC game. But I saw a tweet from Adam Schefter. Said, well, 10 days, you know, it's the 10th day on Saturday, so he could return to play. And, you know, it's new math, right? It's a new world. Depends on how you count the 10 days from the start or to the finish, yet to be determined.
I think they're going to base it on Wednesday when he failed the test, which means Friday the 6th would be the 10th day. The 11th day would be Saturday in South Bend. And we need him to play in that football game. I don't care about his health, to be honest with you. We got a lot of betting to do there, doctor.
Yeah, but Scott, here's the deal. Wednesday is just positive test. So if you count Thursday as the end of the first day, the end of the 10th day would be on Saturday. So does it really, or does, that's why I say it's new math. We don't know the rules.
Listen, Jesus overlooks that stadium, as you know, in South Bend. And I am hearing from my sources deep within heaven that Jesus will bless young Trevor to play against Notre Dame and spank the Irish ass by 20. That's what, you know, Jesus told me earlier today. I just wanted to say that.
All right.
So let me ask you this. How can Gardner Minshew play with all those fractures in his hand and thumb? Because I've broken every bone in my hands. And I got to tell you, throwing a football is not an option.
Well, yeah, it was on his throwing hand, too. And look, he's tough. You know, you can try and play through. I don't doubt that he's a gamer. But there was no way that he was playing with an unstable fracture in his hand and gripping and throwing the ball. Was there a hairline something and a stable fracture? Yeah, maybe. And I think this is all a non-story. Obviously, he has not played super well the last couple of weeks, but they're on a bye this week. And by the time he comes back the following week, it'll be some weeks from the injury. With a splint or the brace, he's going to be able to be fine. He's not going to not be the quarterback because of his thumb when in the week after the bye.
So what's the latest on Aaron Jones' calf for the Packers and Joe Mixon's foot for the Bengals?
Well, Aaron Jones, you know, we are obviously very iffy, saying that didn't buy the game time decision last week. And game time decision often means at the game, we'll decide to tell you that he's not playing, right? And this week, he's got a chance. I still think he misses this week, Aaron Jones. As far as Joe Mixon is concerned, I didn't see a lot on his foot on the touchdown that he scored the week before. He did a fancy dance after he scored the touchdown. He finished the game, but yet he's missed last week. And it got me really concerned last week when the coach referred to it as week to week. I mean, day-to-day often becomes week-to-week, but week-to-week sometimes implies even longer, and sure enough, he is definitely missing at least his second week in a row.
When you saw the way Cam Newton's been playing the last few weeks, do you think that his shoulder problems could be rearing its ugly head again?
I don't see any evidence of that. I don't see any evidence of his foot. And I don't see or believe it's COVID that has him tired or something. But I do think COVID has affected his play, and this is how. He was a late signing. There was no offseason program. The preseason was very reduced. And then the Patriots, he tested positive. Patriots had issues. They weren't practicing. So here's a guy with very little practice time running an NFL squad with his new team. You look at Tom Brady, who he replaced. He practiced all summer long and, quote, illegally, against the NFLPA's advice, gathered players to practice. And even he didn't look great his first game against the Saints. And now he's rolling pretty good. So the game's just not that easy. And I think it's the lack of practice with his teammates that has affected Cam more than anything else.
The Chiefs are favored by 90 against the Jets on Sunday. Do you think that Mitchell Schwartz with his back problem and Sammy Watkins with a hammy are going to be able to go in that game?
No, and the Chiefs are actually a little bit dinged up there. So that's an interesting number there. I mean, look, I think there's enough injuries on both sides. And, you know, I don't think the Chiefs are that explosive right now. They've got several offensive linemen, their offensive linemen with injury issues, and that's new. The Chiefs are a little bit dinged up. You can see that at the field view at profootballdoc.com.
The Bengals have massive problems up front as well. Williams, Hopkins, Hart, all banged up. I think they're in trouble against the Titans. What about Jimmy Smith with that Achilles? You think he'll be able to go against the Steelers?
I think that'll be tough, you know, Achilles. But, yeah, you're right about the Bengals. We said on Sunday, hey, it's possible three new offensive line starters that had been playing will be out. And right now, if you look at the field view, all five of the offensive line positions have some injury question marks for the Bengals. So that is a big deal this week.
All right, Doc, great stuff. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the games. Go get some rest. You're too busy in that OR. I mean, you are just at it. You're the grinder. Always appreciate having you on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid, Doc. You're the man.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Dr. David Chow with us. All right, Carver High. Mike D'Antoni, I can't believe it. He's going to be an assistant for Steve Nash, his old coach in Phoenix when they were lighting it up back in the day.
I love it, Scotty. I think it's a good move for them. They, of course, back in the, what was it, 06, 07, the 7 seconds or less offense where Nash was playing for D'Antoni. This is a good move. Nash has never been a head coach in the NBA or anywhere else, to be quite honest with you. And now you have a guy with all those games of experience that's going to be on the bench with you that you can lean on. I think this is a smart move for the Nets.
The NBA informs teams they're going to begin to be able to practice with up to 10 players. What are they going to practice from now until Martin Luther King Day when they say they're going to start the season? Think the players will get a little bored with that? Start the season on Christmas Day. Give me my 5 games, Carver High.
Well, you can't do that, Scotty, because then didn't we do the story the other day where LeBron and the other stars – you know, they don't want to do that, and they might sit out the first month if
so
the NBA
what,
does that. So
what?
You got to have LeBron on Christmas Day, Scotty. Come on. You can't have Lakers with no LeBron. That's not right.
No, because then Christmas Day becomes all about LeBron James and nobody else, and all they do is talk about LeBron all day, and I want to hurl. Klay Thompson backs a new CBD brand. I love the fact that Klay Thompson is pushing the K-Funk Swiss cheese. CJ McCollum got married. I mean, who gets married midweek? Matchups for the ACC Big Ten Challenge are highlighted by Duke, Illinois. Duke will spank Illinois' ass, even though Illinois is highly ranked this year. And top 10 prospect Caleb Houston commits to Michigan, giving him the number one ranked class to play for Juwan Howard. And how about a little hockey? Tyler Seguin going to have hip surgery next week. Guess he's not going to be running any errands around the house or anywhere else for that matter. How about that, Carl?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Former Cowboy and Packer Hall of Famer legend, won 6 NFL titles. Herb Adderley passes away at 81. Rest in peace. Yaziel Puig sued for sexual battery. Ouch. After an alleged assault at a 2018 Lakers game. And how about this one? John Daly's favorite things are causing his cancer, according to doctors. Alcohol, beef, milk, and diet drinks. I think he chugs the Diet Coke, Carver High. And here's a good one for you. A mom in England praised for her genius move to test her sons, multiple boys in the family, to see if they put the toilet seat up and down. She tapes $20 bills to underneath the toilet seat because she knows that her sons are greedy, and the first one that takes the money will be the one that actually put up the toilet seat and put the toilet seat down, because thus they'll find the money. But she never sees them finding the money, so she knows all three of them are liars. I'm very concerned about this story as well. teenagers are linking marijuana use with more and better sex. This is a disturbing story, Carver High, right before for Halloween. I can't have the kids thinking yes. that smoking K-Bunk Swiss cheese leads to a better relationship life. Better relations. Yes. I need better relations with 34C so she doesn't run off with Danucci. I need 34C to stay in the bed she's in now. I can't have my teenagers trying to convince the mother that they're having great sex because they smoke weed. This is a problem in my house. Can't have it. Won't have it.
Yeah, that's a stirring development heading into a holiday weekend like this with Pharrelloween here tomorrow.
Let's look at your jacket for a second here. Just we got there about 10 seconds. Let's take a good look. There let's is. Tighten that up. I mean, look at that. I mean, that is just fantastic.
Gotta have it.
Game time
Gotta
decisions is next. I will see you tonight on the bench on Sports Grid Radio. Have a great weekend, everybody. Check out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.